ask a question. The two roads of life. Now, that square on the left is actually, I took a picture looking down at my Bible. That's how I marked those two verses. You notice I just underlined them and I wrote in my Bible. Now, look up from your slide. I would encourage you to have a Bible that becomes your personal record of your journey of seeking God in the Scriptures. Your Bible should slowly get worn out. This one I'm using today has three different colors of duct tape on it. That's because it's even got duct tape on the inside because it's wearing out. Why? Because every time I read through the Bible, I aggressively am looking for truth to respond to. Now back at that slide, I wrote in my Bible, there are two roads of life. And then this is the question, as I did the devotional process on this, which road do you want to follow? I mean, if you look, that shines brighter, wouldn't you want to go in the pathway of God, God's way that gets brighter every day, instead of the wicked in the dark and they don't know what makes them stumble? Next slide, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, next slide. This is the theme of this section of our class that I want to underline in your minds. What are the implications of that verse? Well, that next statement on your slide, God Himself wrote every word of the Bible through the 40-plus men He guided over a period of 1,500 years of history, from 1446 Moses, who wrote the first books of the Bible, through about 90 AD, the Apostle John, who wrote the final words of the Bible. Now look up from your slide and think about this. When I say God's way, it's not I think it's God's way. It's because God inspired this book and said, if you want to obey me, you'll follow what's written in my word. If you choose to not follow what's written in my word, then you're turning away from knowledge. You're turning away from my way. That's what's so amazing about the Bible. You either believe what God said or you go your own way. Now, next slide, and I want you to think about, God is speaking in the books of wisdom. That's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, right in the middle of those, the book of Proverbs. God Himself gave us every word of the wisdom books through His servants, the prophets, and others. Next slide. Now we've gotten to the doctrine of inspiration. Why believe the Bible is true? Now look up from your slides. How do you know the Bible is true? I'll never forget sitting in my first class at Michigan State University. It was the summer of 1976. I was taking an English course. I got there. The professor was a character. I won't even take time to describe him, but he was so obviously a pagan. But he strolled out on the stage in front of 600 of us students sitting in amphitheater, you know, stadium-like seating. We were sitting reverse alphabetical, so instead of the A's being in the front and B's, they started in the back row. So I was in the very top row as a Barnett in the back row of the 600. And he strode out looking at us, looking in the class's eyes, and he said, "My goal as I teach English literature is to remind you that the Bible isn't true. It's mythology." I was sitting in the second to the back row, and being a good, you know, kid raised by good parents, they said, never interrupt an adult. And if you're in a class, raise your hand. So I raised my hand in the back row of 600 students. The professor was looking around and he saw that hand. He said, "Hey, son, speak up, stand up and say whatever you want to say. You don't have to raise your hand. You know, this is Michigan State University." So I stood up. And I said, "Sir, the Bible is not mythology. I believe the Bible is true." And I sat down quick as I could. In fact, I think I almost collapsed. I was scared to death. But I didn't want him to cause the other students to doubt God's word. That was wrong. So I had to speak up. I had to stand up for God. Well, he didn't say anything. He just went like this. What he was saying is, there's a dinosaur. There's one of those vestigial people left around that are superstitious and believe in some God. The rest of us don't. He didn't say a word. He just implied it. As soon as class was over, 50 students pushed their way against the flow, kind of like salmon going upstream, and surrounded my seat. And as all the other 500 plus students left, they said, "Can we have a Bible study? Would you lead it?" And that started that year, me studying with the Navigators and my 50 new friends from English class and memorizing scripture. Why? Because the Bible is true. How do we know the Bible is true? Look at the slides in front of you. Why do we believe the Bible is true? There are 7 reasons. Now, look up for a second. All of you who are taking this course for credit, you really need to write these down. The rest of you screenshot it, but write these down because this is going to be on your quizzes and also in your test. And these 7 reasons, basically, you can distill down to 1 or 2 words. Number 1, look at the slide, Jesus Christ believed the Bible. Okay, look up. If anybody ever asks you, how do you know the Bible is true? How do you know Proverbs is true? How do you know what God's way is? How do you know what man's way is? How come you're seeking so much to live your life this way? How come you want to tell others how to live? How come you know you're saved and serving God and all these other points? What do you tell them? Jesus believed the Bible. That's why I believe the Bible. That's the greatest reason. In fact, you don't need 7. The Bible that you are reading from right now, the Old Testament in particular, every word that's in the copy you have was in the Septuagint that Jesus carried around as he walked in the synagogue and read either from the Septuagint, which was most frequent when he quotes scripture, or from the Hebrew scriptures. The reason I know the Bible is true, number 1, look back at your slide, is because Jesus Christ believed the Bible. Number 2, the absolute testimony of the apostles and prophets. They repeatedly said, when they spoke and wrote these scriptures, they said, "Thus says the Lord." Number 3, because God's word has survived. That means that, and you can look up for a second, one of the greatest persecutions of all time in the history of the church was in the late 3rd and early 4th century, as Diocletian systematically tried to eradicate Christianity. As he went through, he did 3 things. He destroyed all church buildings, he destroyed all copies that he could find of the scriptures, and he killed every pastor of every church throughout the empire. And that's what the Roman legionaries did for 10 years. You know why I believe the Bible's true? Because the Bible has survived. The Christians, you know what they did? They took the scrolls and the manuscripts and the papyri and they tore them up in pieces and gave everybody a piece so that only if every Christian was hunted down and found would we lose all the Bible. And that's why today, those who study manuscripts of the Bible have found 25,000 manuscripts of the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, all of those copies that Jesus would have read and believed, when we found the Dead Sea Scrolls that were almost 2,000 years after the time of Christ, we found them. They exactly match the scriptures that we have. Back to the slides. Number 1, Jesus believed it. Number 2, the apostles and prophets believed the Bible to be true. Number 3, God's word has survived. Number 4, the absolute unity of Scripture, and number 5, the prophetic accuracy. Okay, look up from your slides. The Bible is unified, even though it was written by 40 different men living on four continents who spoke the Word of God and never met each other. Yet, across those 1,600 years, they never saw, many of them, what the others wrote. But what they wrote absolutely is unified. It fits together. And every time the Bible talks about the future prophecy, every prophecy that has come to pass from the Scriptures has been fulfilled literally. God tells the future. He writes history in advance. Back down to your slides. Number six, scientific accuracy. In other words, anytime the Bible addresses science, it's totally accurate. And number seven, historic accuracy. Now, look up from your slides. Let me read these to you. If I ask you why you believe the Bible is true, you should say, because Jesus did, because the apostles and prophets unanimously said they were speaking the Word of God. Number three, because God's Word has survived from the Romans desiring to destroy it, from wicked Israelite kings trying to destroy it like they did when they took Jeremiah and cut up his word and burned it in the fireplace, all the way through the Babylonian captivity, right up to communism and their desire to eradicate the Scriptures, all the way through my professor at Michigan State, who said, the Bible's not true. The Bible has survived. Number four, the absolute unity of the Scriptures by those 40 different authors across all those centuries. Number five, prophetic accuracy. That is a real, in fact, the book of Isaiah says, the signature of God is that the Bible's prophecies come true. And God said, I'm the only one that can tell you what's going to happen in the future. Number six, scientific accuracy. Especially, I would say, the book of Job. The book of Job talks about ornithology, geodesy, isostasy, astrophysics. It talks about gravitational tug on stars up that no human has gotten near. And only in the last 100 years have we understood what Job says about oceanography and deep ocean vents and the currents underwater. All of those things, scientifically, the Bible is accurate. And number seven, the historic accuracy of the Bible. If you read the Book of Mormon, if you read the Quran, there are so many historic inaccuracies. But every time archaeologists dig up the Middle East, you know what they find? That everything the Bible says is totally historically accurate. Back down to your slides. If we were to give a chart of the Old Testament, basically the Old Testament is made up of three parts. 17 books of history. You see that in the bottom lower left corner. There are five major history books, Genesis to Deuteronomy, known as the Pentateuch. Then there are nine history books that are pre-exilic. That means before the southern kingdom was taken off to Babylon. Then there are three books, the post-exilic books, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, that were written after the Jewish people returned to Jerusalem. Now look at the right lower corner. There are 17 books of prophecy. Now, wait a minute. Look on the left. There are 17 books of history that are major, pre-exilic, post-exilic. Look at the right. There are five major prophets. There are nine pre-exilic prophets. There are three post-exilic prophets. Amazing structure. But look at the center. The wisdom books across the top, Job, a theology of godly suffering, Psalms, a theology of godly worship, Ecclesiastes, a theology of godly life, Song of Solomon, a theology of love. What's right in the middle? The book of Proverbs. Now look up from your slides for a second. The book of Proverbs is teaching us God's way versus man's way. It teaches us how God wants us to live life, and we can live it God's way. And especially how to live in a way that we get eternal gain.